The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that of course means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am your host for the evening. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me as always, the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
And before we jump into everything, I want to give everybody out there who's listening, at least in America, a big ol' heads up, and you're welcome in advance. This Sunday, May 9th, is Mother's Day. Make sure that you get a card or flowers or a gift or something, because this is it's Wednesday. Like I said, this is going up Wednesday night, if not Thursday morning. So make sure that you're picking something up. We're giving you plenty of time. It's not the day before. Don't be, you know, sometimes I like to go to Walmart Saturday night and just like look at the panic and the picked clean, you know, aisle of cards right there.
I don't know how many actual holidays did you work at JCPenney's?
Not that many.
Because
I was only there for like 6 months.
Yeah, so I was there for like 3 or 4 years, and it was a very constant. Even without looking at the calendar, mm-hmm. I could tell you when major holidays were about to hit, because not from the amount of people that were at that store, but the amount of urgency that people were at that store for. Easter was my favorite for that reason. You saw people pre-Easter Sunday freaking out over matching shirts. And we can't get your size. And why don't you have my size? Well, it's like, well, we've been selling these shirts for 2 months like this.
Right. And you're coming in 3 days before.
Yeah. So
confused that everyone else is doing the exact same thing you're wanting to do.
Yeah. And so for a way more important holiday of the year, Mother's Day, be prepared, because Mother's Day is a very important holiday.
And also, it's worth noting, when I say get something, you're probably way too late to try to get like a Sherry's Berries or flowers.com or whatever those other, you know, this, we don't have a deal, so we don't have an ad read. But all those ad reads you've been hearing on every
podcast. Oh, yeah, you're late. That's not happening.
Yeah, your best bet is to go to like, at least here, you know, Schnucks has a floral department. Just grab something and go. You know, get a card. But at the bare minimum, a card, a gift, something.
So do you want to know what Mama Bear's getting? She doesn't listen to this, so I can happily talk about it.
Sure, go ahead.
So a couple years ago, Danielle, my older sister, got her a record player.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, that was a throwback for Mom. She loved it. She does not have a single Def Leppard album. She will have a Def Leppard album this year, because I was like, what am I going to get her for Mother's Day? Because, like, I don't think I got her, I'm not sure, I got her some Funko Pops for her birthday, because it was NASCAR drivers, and that hit for Mom, because, again, we're from Southeast Missouri, so we're all a little bit more redneck than I would like to admit, at least with my family. So I think a Def Leppard album, hopefully Pyromania, if I can pull it off. So I'm going to be hitting up Barnes & Noble this weekend, finding that, because there's not a lot of sons. Like, because I'm not worried about Flowers. Flowers is fine, but there will be no rush to get a Def Leppard album. There just won't be. It doesn't exist. And then that's why my gift giving's the best.
I mean, you say that, but again, it's Southeast Missouri, so you never know.
I will go to St. Louis on Saturday. I have nothing to do.
But, so, yeah, get your mama something. Get her something nice. So, that's your PSA from PWU. That could be a thing, but I don't want to put the thought into it right now. Anyway, news. We're going to cover a little bit of what happened this week, a little bit of what happened last week, because we didn't do the show last week. So, and we're not doing the show live tonight. We had some technical issues. So, again, I didn't really feel like troubleshooting, so we're just going.
Yeah, gotta love technology.
We're a podcast first and foremost. So, but the big news, biggest news, and thank you, based wrestling gods, JBL up there, for having this happen before Wednesday. It actually happened, it broke late last night as I was laying in bed, and it's just like, Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful tweeted out like, hey, you should join our Patreon to get this story, because it's a big one. And I'm paraphrasing that. And so I was like, okay. And then someone responded to it, to that tweet that he actually responded to, asking, so should I go to bed or do you think I should stay up a little bit? And he's like, you're going to want to stay up. And I was like, okay, what's happening here? And it turns out the story that he was breaking, and he broke last night, Tuesday night, was that after losing the Universal Championship match against Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan's title match with the stipulation of if he loses, he's banished from SmackDown, his contract actually did expire after that match. So as of today, Wednesday, Daniel Bryan is no longer under contract with the WWE. Now, I know what you're thinking. Holy crap, where's he gonna go? What's gonna happen? And it's very, very important to note, both parties are apparently still in communication with each other. They're still in talks. WWE is pushing hard to get him to sign a new contract. But something I was going to bring up last week, or at least maybe I might have meant to put it on this week's show when I saw the headline, is he's been very vocal about wanting to go other places, but also stay with WWE. So he's looking to like have something maybe in his contract, like, hey, I'm a WWE superstar, but also maybe sometimes I show up in ROH. Hey, maybe sometimes I pop up on a New Japan show type situation. Also, I would bet money that he does end up just re-signing to WWE.
Like, oh,
That's not out of the realm of possibilities. So before we go too hard into speculation and the dream matches and all of that, I just want to make sure everyone's aware that it's not a he was released, he's done, it's over. It's just, hey, okay, this is where the contract negotiations have stopped. So Dalton, I'm going to ask you, I don't know why I say your name and address you directly as if there's someone else on this call that could.
It's because I requested this setup because of my technology. So it's the way we're doing it. But
so if let's assume that he is done with WWE, they're not going to be able to come to an agreement to where he stays under contract. Where is your number one promotion? Say he has to go to one. He's not going to bounce around. He's not going to do the Matt Cardona, show up at Impact show up to AEW for a spell before ultimately landing at Impact, or EC3 at Impact before ROH. Like, he has to go to one. Where do you want him to go?
AEW.
Okay.
And it's not even close. Expand. Yeah, it's not even close to the roster. I want a Daniel Bryan versus Brian Cage match. I want Daniel Bryan versus Kenny Omega. I want, like, there's so many things there that I would like to see. I would like to see Daniel Bryan and Cody wrestle. Because they were always really fun. And, like, I think they did tag team division stuff against each other before. Like, whenever... That might have been pre-Stardust, but I'm pretty sure they did things in, like, that in the tag team division in WWE. There's so many people in AEW I want to see him face that also I don't think are going to murder him. Like if he went to New Japan, because it's also super important to note that this is a man that, I mean, he's been back full time for 3 years now, but there's always that thought in the back of your head of just like, man, so maybe not AEW, maybe not AEW.
Is he on borrowed time?
Yeah. Cause we've seen that go poorly too. But no, AEW is where I want to see him go. There's a lot of people, him versus Sammy Guevara would be a lot of fun. There's just, and he had an interview a couple weeks ago talking about wanting to wrestle the younger batch of workers today. Mm-hmm. And threw out names like Pete Dunne, and I think he's mentioned Kenny Omega. And
he did an interview where he was talking about, he spoke very highly of both the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, talking about, you know, the Young Bucks, you can go back in previous tag teams in history and you can see where they're picking from and evolving from. But he said with Kenny Omega, it's almost like there isn't an evolution point. It's just this stuff pops into his brain and he decides to go for it.
Yeah.
And you can tell that, you know, there really isn't, he's not pulling this from others. It's just, this is him. So it was just, which part of it is it's got to be like, you know, the 4D chess thing of, well, if I talk about how badly I want to wrestle and how much I respect these people at our number one competition who I know, who everyone knows for a fact, they're going Eric Bischoff levels of just throwing money at people.
Yeah.
Because they can. You know, okay, well, maybe WWE, either A, I don't know Daniel Bryan. I've never met the man. I'm not going to try to speculate, like, who he is as a person. But he kind of strikes me as someone who it's not just about the money. Because one, you have to assume he's been back full time for 3 years, on top for 3 years.
Yeah.
Bree, he's married to Bree, right?
Yeah, it's Bree. Okay. That's his wife.
Bree is making a killing between Total Bellas and all of her stuff. They're not hard up for money.
No.
He could never work again, and you have to assume that their family's going to be fine financially.
Yeah.
It's going to be more of, so maybe he's saying these things not as a way to get WWE to throw some more money at him, but more of a way to like get these things in his contract about like, hey, maybe I want to go to NXT. Maybe I want to go be able to work with ROH or in Mexico or in Japan or, you know, wherever else. Maybe that's his way of, you know, playing hardball and just being like, no, you understand, I could go literally anywhere. And you talk about AEW having the best roster, and I don't disagree. Like, I would also really, I know for a fact wherever he goes, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
Because he's going to put on amazing matches, because there's really not a single promotion going right now that there isn't at least 3 or 4 people that I would kill to see him wrestle in a high stakes match. Because I can say this with confidence, I'm pretty sure Daniel Bryan and I could have like a 3-star match minimum.
Yeah.
And I've literally don't know how to take a bump.
Yeah.
But he's just that good. He would carry me through that kicking and screaming.
Literally kicking you while you're screaming.
No. And me screaming a lot. And it wasn't until really you mentioned it of just like, because my pick would have been New Japan. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want to see him in Tanahashi. And I'm saying that as someone who isn't a huge Tanahashi fan.
But that's coming from someone that's a huge Daniel Bryan fan, which, again, that match would be stupid.
Oh, it'd be incredible. It'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Daniel Bryan versus the Ace. Like, hell yeah. I want to see him against Jay White, Will Ospreay, Okada. Like, there, you know, there's a million people over in Japan that he would tear down the house with.
But
there's,
I think it's
people in AEW he would tear down the house with.
It's what you're saying. Of just like, he could work you in a 3-star match at minimum. And it's because that's who he is. So it's one of those like, well, who do you want to see him wrestle? Well, honestly, I want to see him wrestle everybody. Mm-hmm. It's the whole, can Chris Hero save wrestling? I want to see Chris Hero wrestle everybody. I think Chris Hero could have an amazing match with anybody. And Daniel Bryan is better than Chris Hero. And it's just like, it's one of those things where, and I was going to say the money thing, at the end of the day, like, he has always seemed like, in interviews, he seems like the guy that this is just an art form for him. Because before his career-ending injury, the back in 2016, or 2013, God, time is sucks, 2013, 2014, the dude was already set for life. Because he was under WWE contract the entire time. The dude has been actively paid by the WWE for the last 11 years of his life. Being on top the last 3 years before he left, he was on top. Like, you can imagine that he is just making all this amount of money. And his wife also just makes all of this, like, this huge amount of money. But at the end of the day, with the money thing, he has 2 kids to worry about. And, like, I'm willing to say they probably are set for life. But, and I don't have kids, so I can't attest to this. But it's one of those where he's like, probably just like, but, you know, if I can make a little bit more, I don't have, it's something I know I won't have to worry about. So I'm sure money is a big factor. Not the biggest factor, but is a bigger factor than what we're letting on.
So I wasn't going to put this in the news just because I didn't think it was really newsworthy, but you kind of brought it to a point where it's relevant. WWE put up the first 2 chapters of his upcoming book, his autobiography. And in that, I think it's on the first, it's on the first chapter, because I'm pulling this off of Wrestling Inc., WWE recently asked many of their successful superstars to take a personality inventory. In theory, these tests are able to assess personal qualities such as sociability, prudence, and interpersonal sensitivity. The idea is that different professions require different personal characteristics, but these sorts of analytics had never been done with professional wrestlers.
Thing where it says he's the least professional wrestler personality-wise?
No, okay. It's not that. It's, where is it?
Because I feel like
I actually enjoyed taking the test and was interested to hear the results. The next day, I met with a woman to talk about them. Everything was done on a percentile basis, and as we went over the results, she became more and more baffled. In all the primary markers except one, learning approach, for which I was in the 84th percentile, I scored low, and I mean very low. For interpersonal sensitivity, I was in the bottom 11th percentile. For the adjustment category, the bottom 9th percentile. Sociability, bottom 3rd. But the one that really puzzled her was my score for ambition, which was the lowest she had ever seen in her history of administering this kind of testing and data. I was in the bottom 1 percentile.
I've read this book.
So she asked me how I had managed to be so successful given that I seemed to have no drive, few social skills, and inherent apathy toward most of the ideas of our modern business culture seems to find so important. I have no idea. I just love to wrestle. The success has come mostly by luck. So, this is from 2015. Oh, this is way back.
Because I remember reading this.
I was like, wow, it's weird that that they're putting out this autobiography just now. And they're still doing that even with him not under contract. But yeah, so way back in 2015, he talked about how he's tested so low on ambition, but it's just because he loves to wrestle. So that's why I think like money's not like, okay, the money is important, obviously, because he had, like you said, he has a family, but it makes a ton of sense that he would also end up going, like, even if they threw that much money at him, he's going to go where he can wrestle and do what he loves to do most.
Yeah.
And maybe he is okay with not wrestling full time because he's talked about that he's not going to do another full time schedule. He's talked about doing that previously. So could it be that he wants to get into training, like go down to NXT as a trainer and get to work, you know, maybe be on the show for NXT, but also work with the Performance Center. Maybe he wants to do more with creative because we've seen and heard the stories that he is. That's why we saw Drew Gulak get such a feature. He's the one that handpicked Ali to be spotlighted when he was the Planets champion. You know, he's dabbled in other aspects of the business, but if what he wants to do is wrestle, then maybe he does go somewhere else that will let him wrestle more.
And I think it's super, like, you hear the stories about WWE and you heard the Brody Lee and Jon Moxley podcasts post WWE release and contract expirations of everything is so sanitized there, which is, I mean, not, I'm not, that's not a knock, but everything is, it's such a TV show to where it's like scripted down to the second. AEW doesn't seem to have that going for them. AEW does feel like a wrestling show more than a TV show. Sometimes to its detriment, but it does feel like that. So I could see him being like, you mean you're going to give me 20 minutes to work a match on primetime television? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, it's against this person that I either haven't worked in 10 years or I have never worked before? Cool. And like, anywhere he goes, he needs to be a main... Because like, whenever Christian came into AEW and like he was immediately against Kenny Omega for a second, I was like, that's like, I mean, yeah, dude's Hall of Fame, but hasn't done anything in what, 7 years? Whereas if anywhere that Daniel Bryan goes, that is current Jon Moxley. That guy needs to be at the top of your title picture right now. And it's not because he's an ex WWE guy. It's because he's fucking Daniel Bryan.
And that's also part of the reason why I don't really want him to go to AEW. Because they're clearly doing this Kenny Omega story. And the logical conclusion right now seems to be Kenny goes everywhere, wins everything until he loses it all because of insert reason here. And it does really feel like they are building that to be Hangman Page, to be the one to finally dethrone him off of the AEW mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll lose the Impact title before, he'll lose the AAA title before, you know, still kind of think, like, with the amount of times that Will Ospreay has name-dropped Omega. Not really name-dropped, but I don't like the face you're making.
I just realized we don't have the next Andrade match on the news.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to add that on there. Okay. Talking about this.
My bad.
No, I thought that was the we're not recording.
No. I just, like, face. I was looking because you just said AAA title, and I'm like, oh, yeah, because he's facing Andrade for it, which we are getting Kenny Omega versus Andrade. I'm really sorry I'm derailing the segment.
No, it's...
But
it's
going
to get... Yeah. That'll be this year's Triple Mania. He laid down the challenge in a video package, although Kenny Omega has not officially accepted that challenge yet. So why would you make that? Yeah, why would you air that if not, it's not already going to happen?
Yeah.
It's still worth noting. Card subject to change. But with Will Ospreay, not necessarily name dropping, but absolutely making reference to Kenny Omega and the Collector, then, you know, maybe Omega takes it off of Ospreay. And then my theory is that the final boss that he can't do that starts his demise where he loses everything is when he loses the match to Ibushi. Ibushi's the one who takes the IWGP Heavyweight Championship from him. And there it's just a downward spiral. He loses the title to whoever in Impact. Maybe Andrade. I don't know when Triple Mania is off the top of my head, but I think it's too soon for him to lose the title there.
Yeah.
But again, stuff is constantly in flux, especially when you're working with different companies and people, you know, creative decisions, they may change their mind of like, hey, you know what? Actually, we want our belt back here. So...
Because again,
you never know.
How many times in WWE did we talk about it was really annoying having Brock Lesnar as the champion, but only being there 5 Monday Night Raws?
Yeah. So.
And Kenny, like, as much as I love Kenny Omega, he can only be at one place at a time. And whenever you have a belt in Mexico and you have 2 belts in America and they're all the most important belt, like, yeah. the dude can only travel so much. I mean, it's super cool with what they're doing with him. I think this is one of the coolest things in wrestling going right now. Even though I'm not a big fan of the, like, Kenny Omega's current iteration, I think he's too comic book villainy for my personal liking. That being said, still putting the best work of his career right now.
I get it. I just don't agree. But it is a thing of it's just a taste. It's a personal taste.
Yeah.
One of us are wrong.
Before and after the bell, he's still Kenny Omega, and that is still great. But it's the stuff before and after the bell that I'm like, hey, I get it. I get it. I know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, it's not what I personally like right now.
Which is fair.
Yeah. So. But Daniel Bryan, I would love to see, like, it would, and you're right, it should be Hangman Page, but man, how fun would it be if Daniel Bryan just came in and was like, yeah, that's mine now. And then we got a series of matches between those two.
And it would be nuts. It's just like, oh man, I like Hangman so much. I don't want him to lose his spot to something else. So, also real quick, since we're talking about AEW, I want to give a shout out to it would have been last week's show, the Miro and Kip Sabian segment. Did you see that?
I don't think so.
I'm going to send you the link, 'cause I just rewatched it crawling through Reddit, trying to find news stories. That segment popped up on a streamable, and I'm going to send it to you. But basically, it's psycho, total evil monster Miro. And my heart is so in love. He's going to kill Darby Allin, and it's going to be real fun to watch.
And if there's a wrestler to kill, it's Darby Allin.
He's going to make it look great. So, but time will tell. Maybe by this time next week, we might have more information on where a follow-up to the Daniel Bryan stuff. But as for now, it's nothing but speculation. And like I said, it may just be now he's on NXT or now he's on Raw since he was banished from SmackDown. But something else in breaking news, although less industry-defining and potentially changing, is Daniel Bryan's free agency. Oh, real quick. Someone on Reddit did point out that now Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, and CM Punk are all technically in free agency. So what if they just descended onto Ring of Honor one final time together?
Then Ring of Honor will be a bigger deal than what they were in 2018 when we went to go see Supercard of Honor. Because as big as the Bucks and Kenny and Cody were at the time, I think if you said, hey, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Samoa Joe are going to go back to Ring of Honor for a 4-month stint, that would be the biggest deal in wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, the last 10 years.
Those are, like, the 3 biggest pillars of Ring of Honor, arguably. I get that there's, you know, they've since had things happen, like Bullet Club Association and stuff like that. But, like, when you think old school Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah. OG, like, Ring of Honor.
You're picturing one of those 3.
Yeah.
More than likely in the ring. So, you know, shout out to Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero and...
like half of the people we love now, because you could also like Seth Rollins. Well, I don't want to play
all
this
sorts
game.
Of people.
I don't want to play this game because it's too much to think of. Because I'm going to forget a name and it's going to piss me off.
No, yeah, you're fine. So, but yeah, that would be very, very entertaining. Anyway, other news that broke just today: Impact Wrestling has struck a deal to where they will partner with Samsung TV Plus. If you don't know what Samsung TV Plus is, if you have a Samsung TV and it's a smart TV, you have it on. I think it's kind of annoying because it always wants to change that anytime I, like, if I turn off my PlayStation or my Xbox and I don't have anything else hooked up to the HDMI, it'll automatically just switch over to that. And it's like, stop it. I don't need it. But this news came out. I actually didn't have a chance to really look when it starts, but it's going to be all, it looks like, Impact Wrestling boasts almost two decades of new and classic original content from across the promotion's storied legacy, celebrating squared circle icons, including Ric Flair, Sting, Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, and AJ Styles, as well as Impact's current roster of world-class athletes, which includes Rich Swann, the Good Brothers, former NFL player Moose. I don't know why they have to throw that in there, because I think of him as a wrestler well before him as an NFL player.
He played for the Patriots.
Deonna Purrazzo, Sammy Callahan, Eddie Edwards, Jordan Grace, Eric Young, and Chris Bay. Impact programming is televised globally in 120 countries, including Access TV in the U.S., and it doesn't actually give any of the... Samsung TV Plus comes pre-installed on 2016 to 2021 Samsung smart TVs and is available on select Samsung Galaxy devices, making it even easier to watch live and on-demand TV anytime, anywhere. Samsung TV Plus users can enjoy Impact's dedicated channel now, conveniently located on channel 1164. So, I will check that out, because I'm actually really curious if this will... I'm curious if this means that, because right now Impact, you can watch on their actual Twitch channel. So does this mean that this is going to be simultaneously broadcast on Twitch live and Samsung TV Plus live? So like if I tune in while, you know, on Thursday nights when it's airing live on Twitch, is it also airing live on the TV app? So, or is it just going to be a random episode? Because right now their Twitch channel runs pretty much 24/7, and you can, it's just, you know, previous episodes or DVDs,
old school matches. Because I've logged on and it's been like a match from 2008 before, which yeah, so it's pretty cool. Like,
yeah, it's neat that they do it. It's just I'm wondering how this deal and also when it takes effect. Although if they have the channel number 1164, then maybe that means it's live right now. So. But either way, cool. I'm glad for Impact. The more I think this is a very niche thing, and I don't know how many new viewers they're going to get off of this, but they've been doing really cool stuff for a very long time. I don't have the exact numbers, but apparently Bound for this latest pay-per-view they did was way more successful, including significantly more successful than Bound for Glory. So good for them. And it answers the question I continue to ask of like, well, I wonder really what does Impact get out of this deal with AEW, and now we know it's a bunch of people are tuning in to watch Impact and to buy these pay-per-views to see Kenny Omega and what AEW's doing. So hopefully that continues, hopefully that sustains. Very excited to see how often Omega, because apparently Omega is supposed to be there tomorrow night on Thursday to see, you know, does he show up in a wrestling capacity? Does he get a new challenger named for Impact? Double or Nothing is pretty much around the corner here in a few weeks. And I think tonight they said they're going to find out who is challenging him at the AEW pay-per-view for the AEW title. So they got a lot on their plate and I'm curious to see how this goes.
Yeah, it's a neat move. I like that Impact is going to be on more things because I mean, we ran the Twitch joke into the ground whenever we were in person. Wasn't me most of the time, but it's good that they're getting more deals because Twitch can only do so much. You're getting more, it's more exposure, and right now it's a good time to get on that Impact train because there's a lot of neat things happening at the same time with like Kenny Omega being there, and you have a good variety of stars that you know that were in WWE current a year or two ago or now there, but they're doing cooler stuff than they ever would have done in WWE. Like, Brian Myers is probably my favorite part of AEW. Mm-hmm. And that's saying something when they have Rich Swann there. Because yeah. I love Rich Swann.
But, yeah, between Twitch, Access, and now the Samsung's TV Plus, it's three things that not everybody has or uses or would think of. So, but it's all, you know, it can all be baby steps until eventually... you know, the sky's the limit for them because, like I said, the roster is amazing and it really seems like that there's always the joke of like, oh, TNA won't die, Impact won't die, but it's been so good for so long now. Like, people really, really need to give it a shot.
They've
so
had like a good four-year stretch. 4 or 5-year stretch.
yeah, it's been crazy. So if you don't want to sign into Twitch, you know, which is as easy as can be, you have a Samsung TV or a Samsung Galaxy phone, this is another way for you to check out Impact and what they're doing. We would have talked about this last week, but Mickie James posted a video on Instagram showing that she received her personal belongings that were seemingly left at the Performance Center at the Thunderdome, wherever, in a trash bag. It was a big trash bag that was put in a box and then sent to her with her name on the bag. And the story just kind of goes down from there, because my initial reaction was like, I have a ton of stuff in trash bags right now because we just moved and it's just a super easy way to take care of that. That said, I'm 31 and I'm broke, so it makes sense for me to do that. I'm not a billion-dollar company that seems like they would have some sort of talent relations that would be in charge of like getting these items to people in a safe and secure and professional way. Now, there has since been follow-ups to this story because Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and John Laurinaitis all tweeted out individually apologizing and saying that whoever was responsible for doing this has since been terminated. We never, as far as I know, got confirmation of who it was, but the name that was making rounds was Mark Carano. And who has apparently been talent relations and been doing stuff like that forever. And it seems that he may have been the one. It seems like he was let go, but there's not necessarily confirmation that he is the one responsible for that, or that was the reason he was let go. But then also, Chelsea Green did an interview where she said she also received her items in a similar way, but she didn't just receive her stuff. She got some of Natalia's stuff. She thinks she got some of either Liv Morgan or Lana's stuff. She got a basketball. She doesn't know if it was just a basketball that was there or if it was someone's basketball there. And also previous employees like Maria Kanellis and Gail Kim have all said that they received their items in a very similar way. So this has been happening for more than a decade. And it's just like, man, one, you're citing budget cuts when you're firing someone in a pandemic, even despite also bragging about your record profits. And two, you're treating these people like trash by putting their stuff in trash bags and just mailing it off to them. CM Punk retweeting one of the, like, the way that, you know, we treat our people better than this, and him just like, what, that was just like the eyes emoji or something like that, since the story, of course, was he received his termination notice on his wedding day.
Yeah.
And apparently someone... It gets all drama-y, and that's not what we talk about on the show, but like someone who, it's like one of Carano's ex-wife's current husbands said that apparently she's talked about that, where it was like, nope, it was, she hated to have to do it because it was very much intentional, and she was the one that was made to like send that fax. But, and then a bunch of other stuff, but like I said, yeah, that's not stuff.
That's not usually here, what like, we do, yeah.
Man, the disrespect to Mickie James, one, that last run that she had in general, and two, to like get sent that stuff, and then Chelsea Green getting stuff that's not even hers.
Yeah. So
like, what is going on?
Because it was her belongings. I'm assuming it was some wrestling gear. Bare minimum wrestling gear is like, for me, I think everything I wear all together in the ring and just a match cost me about $300. Not every show, obviously. I buy it and I keep it for years. But like just a base set of gear is about $300. And that's from head to toe, yeah. None of my stuff is custom. None of my stuff is tailor-made to me. I buy everything very much generically and then I just get it to fit me later. He put what I'm going to assume is a couple $1,000s worth of gear. Because it was a full bag. It was a pretty full bag.
Yeah, and so... More than likely, you know, with the inclusion of the basketball to Chelsea Green, it's safe to say that it was other stuff that they had just left at.
Yeah.
That they had left at the venue, because that would make a lot of sense.
Because it's one of those where, like, because I heard about that, like, and you of course see the tweet and you see it's all in a trash bag and you're like, what would you leave? But that's the very indie, like, aspect of my brain of just like, no, you take everything with you.
And also now it's worth noting too, because they're not touring.
Yeah, so I guess
Thunderdome. They had a dedicated place that it's okay. So yeah, I'm going to be back here in this exact spot next week. May as well. And this is the only thing this place is using this for. it's not like they have to tear down the set and, you know, set up for a basketball game or something like that.
Yeah, because
it's their space.
Like at a NFL stadium, they have a lot, like every player has a locker room. That was Pat McAfee's thing of every year when he wanted to retire, he would look, because his has, like, they all have their names on top of it. And he said, every year I would take it down and the custodian would be like, you don't mean that, put it back up. And then one year he just kept it. He was like, nope, I'm done. But, like, you'd assume since they're not traveling anymore. So I guess it makes more sense that you would leave it there because you're not going anywhere. You're at the Thunderdome. So, yeah, it's just weird that they were leaving. Like, they had stuff there. NXT people makes more sense because they pretty much only did Full Sail. But, yeah, it's pretty disrespectful to put somebody's belongings in the in a trash bag and send it to them.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I don't know how, and I'm not defending, I don't know how you send somebody's shit back to them properly.
No, I mean, you pack it like you're sending Tyler an action figure.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Because it's like...
You use packing tape. You use, you know, you spend the money. You go to FedEx. You spend the $20 on bubble tape, bubble wrap, and actual, like, packing materials. I can go to the FedEx store 3 minutes from my house right now and be like, hey, I need to ship this and I need to make sure it's not, you know, broken. Okay, cool. We're going to wrap it in this. We're going to tape it up like this. We're going to put the styrofoam buffers in there and it's done. It's easy to do. So I guess maybe no one had time to make that run.
Yeah.
Easier to just shovel it, just like, you know, just shovel it into bags and then hope that they're all in contact with each other, trying to find each other work so that they can, oh, actually, I got your thing. Oh, well, I got her thing, so we're just going to send this. And they probably, if they're sending it to each other, they probably shipped it properly.
Yeah.
God, it's just...
It's also super important to note.
It seems like it's such a minor thing, and it didn't happen to, like, me or someone that I know. But it's just like, what the hell, man? It's the bare minimum. You can't do the bare minimum.
But I mean, again, go back to your initial comment of you're firing people, stating budget cuts in the middle of a pandemic while also bragging about record high profits. So yeah. Take that, what you just said, and it explains everything past that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've already established, because again, and it's not on our list, they let go of Mickey James, Billy Kay, and Peyton Royce, and Chelsea Green. And I'm willing to say I'm missing another female right now, and I'm sorry that I'm blanking on who it is, but I'm sure they...
There's only like 13 names total.
Well, yeah, I'm talking strictly women talent.
Right, yeah.
And then this week on Monday Night Raw, guess who's back? Eva Marie, baby! I don't get it. I don't get it. And this is not me being negative towards Eva Marie.
I'll be negative towards Eva Marie.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to be not as negative, but I'm going to be on your side. I'm going to say it in a very diplomatic way. What?
Her and Drake Wirtz would get along.
Oh, okay. Totally fair. All right. So, but in just a purely wrestling aspect, if you're going to ask me, we're going to have to spend a little bit more on Mickey James, but we're going to have Mickey James. Would you rather have Mickey James or than have Eva Marie? And I would be like, I would rather have Mickey James. And that goes for Mickey James. That goes for Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, and Chelsea Green. And Chelsea Green's not as established as the prior three that I just stated. But right. I would take any one of those four over Eva Marie. Because I also have to assume it's cheaper to keep a contract going than it is starting a brand new one. And it's like, we're budget cuts. We have to let go because of budget cuts. But we're going to hire somebody that is not nearly as good as you. And you can't tell me it's ratings because I don't think she was drawing ratings to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
I know it's not on the list, but it's just, it's a tangent off of that.
Yeah, and that's fine. But we are already kind of late in the show. We're gonna get rolling through because there's other stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so disrespectful. WWE has announced that they have teamed up with Crunchyroll to produce an anime. Cool. We know Xavier Woods is not attached to it because he has said so. The number of wrestlers on Twitter that were like so excited and be like, yo, this is all I've dreamed of is wrestling teaming up with anime. Let's go. We don't know what kind of anime it is. We don't know like if it's going to be a wrestling anime. We don't know if it's going to feature WWE talent. It's all just kind of up in the air unless there's been updates and I haven't seen them. And as someone who's not a huge anime person, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase that because that's a dick way of saying it. This isn't in my wheelhouse, so I'm happy for the people that are excited for this, and hopefully it's good and you get a quality thing out of it. but I doubt we're going to get a review on PW whenever it hits.
We might.
I mean, maybe from you. Like, yeah. maybe like you and Sadie wants to pop on, or Shannon doesn't really like anime.
No.
It's not Sailor Moon.
But I will say, I will put an early prediction. It will not be better than Ultimate Muscle. And it's because
nothing is.
Huh?
Oh, God. I might get Crunchyroll if Ultimate Muscle's on
there. I don't know if Ultimate Muscle's on it, but I just want you to know, a couple reasons that it won't be better than Ultimate Muscle is because I'm 28 now instead of, like, 10. Mm-hmm. And Ultimate Muscle was the coolest shit when I was a child.
Ultimate Muscle was cool. So there's only two things that I know Ultimate Muscle from. Actually, there's three things. I take that back. First, the terrible one-color pieces of plastic toys that came out of the quarter little mystery boxes at the Chinese buffet.
Got it.
At Mongolian buffet.
Yep.
The Fox cartoon. The Fox Kids cartoon.
Okay.
Which was awesome.
You better get the third one.
And the... I'm saving the best for last. You don't have the faith in me, and I'm going to backhand you the next time I see you in person. The amazing GameCube game. That game was so much fun. I didn't know who any of these people were. I didn't care, but the character designs were awesome. The moves were crazy. Like, I would play that game over any of the last four WWE games that have come out.
And same, because Gaming Grounds had it for a short while, and I borrowed it. I think I was still working there. But you know who made that awesome wrestling game?
THQ?
Aki.
Oh, I had a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, it was an Aki engine game. I'm like 95% sure of it because it played amazingly. So that tells me it was Aki. I'm going to double check that. But yeah, that's my prediction, is it's not going to be as good as Ultimate Muscle. And it's because I've gotten older. Yeah. And yeah, that's just the thing.
Oh, God, I can't afford another streaming service because they're already wanting me to get Paramount Plus with the Rugrats thing and Criminal Minds. And
if I do Crunchyroll strictly for this, you'll get a login.
Sure. Next up, but still, maybe when we hear more information about it, we'll see what that is. The full season list of Dark Side of the Ring has been announced. This would have been on last week's show because the Brian Pillman episode you can actually watch on YouTube right now.
Did you see it?
But no, not yet.
Oh.
I will, but I haven't had a chance. Because isn't it only the first half or something?
It's
because
it's a two-parter.
It's a two-parter? Okay.
Go ahead.
The Brian Pillman episode is available now, or at least the first one is. They are also going to cover Collision in Korea, Nick Gage, which I'm excited for that one. Oh, I heard that dude's selling toys now? Well, maybe if you try hard, if you work hard enough, you'll get back to the WWF. Amazing.
Who's Matt Cardona?
Why does he want to fight me? Ultimate Warrior, I believe we also know is a two-part episode.
I think so.
Grizzly Smith / Jake the Snake, Dynamite Kid, The Steroid Trials, FMW, Luna Vachon, The Plane Ride from Hell. That's actually the episode I think I'm most excited about.
It's not mine.
XPW and Chris Canyon.
Did you say
who better?
Collision in Korea?
Yes.
That's the one I'm most excited about.
Really?
That is such an insane thing that WCW was just like, we're going to go to like a very hostile place. And we're just going to do a wrestling show for no reason besides money. So, like, it's going to be a big, like, WCW did that first. They did NWO before DX, and they did the Saudi Arabia deal before WWE did it. Only a lot less and not as bad as people. I say that. I'm not 100% sure. They were pretty bad back then, too. But, like, mm-hmm. I've heard bits and pieces from podcasts about Collision in Korea and about how, like, scary of a situation that was. I can't wait for this Dark Side of the Ring.
Kind of makes the hostage situation, quote unquote, from Saudi Arabia seem like a walk in the park.
Yeah, a little bit.
All of these are going to be interesting.
I watched the first part of the Brian Pillman. I'm not going to like spoil anything, obviously, but in the middle of watching it, I had just this feeling of dread because like we all know these stories, so we know it's like we know what's coming, but there's shit that I didn't even know. And I was like, man, I would like to see a happy one of these, like the new Jack one. And whenever that is my baseline of, that's the most fun one they've made. Because they're not fun to watch. It's super important to note that I don't like watching Dark Side of the Ring. Mm-hmm. And I watch it not for entertainment. I watch it for knowledge. And oh my God.
Some of them are hard to get through.
This is, just so you know, this is one of them. And I'm going to say, when you watch it, I'm going to say this. Brian Pillman's widow. And that's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to picture it. It's going to happen and you're going to be like, oh my God. And then you have to remind yourself, Dark Side of the Ring. It's not happy fun time in the ring. And this is also, I hate this series because it's the only time I like Jim Cornette. And I like Jim Cornette a whole lot in these series. Because...
Well, when he's actually a normal human being and he's not just spouting bullshit and, like, his shock jock...
Yeah.
Like, BS. No, he's a very interesting person with a lot of knowledge. It's just when he's on, then he's insufferable and dips into racist, homophobic, terrible, just asshole territory.
And it's one of those, like... Man, Steve Austin's in it, and it's one of those, it's not that I've ever forgot that they were really good friends, but, like, I forgot they were really good friends, so he starts talking about Brian Pillman, and it's, like, fun. They go into the contract disputes, and it's really a testament to how smart Brian Pillman was, and I'm gonna leave it at that. Brian Pillman was a genius.
Is it the thing about him wanting a actual contract to be released, signed, to make it as real as possible, and then using that as his actual release contract? And
Eric Bischoff is
signatures.
Eric Bischoff talks about it and everything, and it's one of those, like, he very much Eric Bischoff said, if you ever listen to 83 Weeks, where he's just like, well, I wasn't in the wrong, so but this is what I did, but I wasn't wrong. He does that, but you can even tell on his face of just like, yeah, and then I fucked up real hard.
So, but yeah, I'll watch it eventually. Maybe, probably won't be this week, just because it's one of those, like, my HP is gonna be high enough to have to take that emotional damage.
I don't think this one's gonna be as bad as part two.
Still, the follow up I'm gonna want to see, and yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on though, New Japan has canceled a number of the Korakuen. I can never know if I'm saying that
Korakuen. You're saying it right.
Hall events in May due to a COVID outbreak, and a follow-up to that story is that even we don't know who, but apparently there are two members of the New Japan roster who have tested positive for COVID. So we are very fortunate that we are in America, and where we are, the vaccine is relatively easy to get if you want it, which you should get vaccinated, please. There are all sorts of online resources to tell you where you can go. As of now, like, anyone over the age of 16 is eligible to get the vaccine in America. And the fact that, you know, you look at somewhere like India that is seeing just I don't know how you can look at the death toll there and not understand how serious this is and how lucky we are here to not be in that situation. And even Japan, which has really, really struggled to keep a lid on things. And you know, the vaccine isn't quite as available over there. You know, we are very, very fortunate, and you should go out of your way to get vaccinated if you're not. But it's easy to see that, you know, this isn't over. We're not done. So this sucks, and good on New Japan for pulling, you know, for canceling those events. And hopefully that the two who do have it are able to get over it quickly and fully and don't see any long-lasting effects. And, you know, they are able to catch it before it spreads to more of the roster as well.
Because it's the one thing we've already had it wasn't COVID related, but we've already seen a horrible death in the last year of wrestling on somebody that was way too young to die.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, I don't want to see something like COVID take out. I don't want anybody to die from COVID, obviously, but it's something I don't want to see when we can avoid it.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer did an interview recently. Apparently he had it and it was real bad for him. It's scary. It's real. Take it seriously and understand that, like, if you can get the vaccine, absolutely do it.
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
Moving on though, into another total bummer of a story. Steve McMichael, better known as Mongo, has been diagnosed with ALS and is said to be deteriorating quickly. ALS is a terrible disease. It is heartbreaking, and it's one of those times that you have to recognize that as much of a punching bag as Mongo is, as far as a wrestling career, because, like, there's a dedicated Twitter account to him. He's got his own clip on, like, his own intro video in Botchamania. He's still a person. And say what you will about the wrestling content and all of that, but he's a person, and this is a tragedy, and this sucks. So if you want to make a joke about, like, oh, nothing of value was lost, or you know, be disrespectful about who he was because he wasn't a great wrestler, you're a trash person. Look inward. Fix yourself.
Oh, I was going to say fuck yourself. It's close to fix yourself.
You can do both.
Yeah. Do the first, or do the one I said first, and then try to go do the one that Asa said. I prefer you do it in that order. Because, like, yeah I don't care that mom... So, I told you the story. I didn't know WCW was a thing until I was, like, 12, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I watched all of Mongo McMichael's things, knowing that they were garbage. But, man, he was fun garbage to watch. I was always thoroughly entertained by him. And, yeah I might have been entertained for the wrong reason. But, you know what? The man still brought me joy. The man still brought me pleasure. I don't want to see this happen to anybody. Let alone somebody that did bring me joy and pleasure. I don't care if it wasn't for the right reason. I don't want to see this happen to this person. And it's a fucking bummer. Because it's also super more, like, important to note, the way he looks now, that man was a brick shit house of a man less than 15 years ago still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a bummer to see just like his shape currently. And it's a sad situation. And I think there's multiple things going on right now to help him, like raise money for him and the family to get the medical, but I think I'm not sure. Conrad Thompson was talking about it on one of his podcasts, because all of the people he does shows with were people that were super close to Mongo. Sorry, Maisie's doing Maisie things right now, and I wish she would stop.
I'm looking up to see if there is a
it's a bummer. If there is, hopefully there is. If there is, donate to it.
There is it's called Team Mongo Steve McMichael ALS Care. It is set up by Betsy Shepherd, and let's see. Where did we go? Okay, they are at, the goal was $176,000, and they are at $175,220. So they are very, very close to reaching their GoFundMe goal. So, and that is, it's under Team Mongo, it looks like, is what the search will be. So... and then let's see, we got two more stories, and they're both lighter news. This is the part that I'm still really bad at, is trying to transition out of heavy sad news into regular news that's not necessarily bad, because it's like, if I try to do it a joke way, I feel like I'm disrespecting that story. So
remember when Shannon would do it sometimes, and I would be like, how did you pull that one off?
Yeah, or I would just be like, oh, I'm glad I'm not in his chair, and now his chair is empty, and I hate it.
Yeah.
AEW, I think this is another...
Fairly new, like in the last week, this is a thing.
I want to say it was almost...
Like yesterday is whenever I saw it.
Yeah, like it's been a day. So if you can now go, and this is mostly for international... if you're not based out of the United States. So I know there's I'm assuming they're VPNs, but like, we've seen the numbers, and apparently there are people outside of the country that listen to this, which, cool. Thank you. We love you. Hi. But if you were wanting AEW merch, you can now go to global.shopaew.com, and it's a new online store that you can buy AEW shirts and gear and things like that and have it shipped to you internationally. And it's supposed to be a lot cheaper. It's available in 224 countries, and this is going to be the easiest way, I think, to get AEW gear, because, you know, anytime you have to ship internationally, that's going to be super expensive. But apparently there's something about this site that is going to cut down on those shipping costs.
Yeah,
so
it's,
I think that's cool. I think that's a good way, because you know wrestling is worldwide. You go to anybody who came up, you know. Even now, like, Daniel Bryan has been to Japan. He's been everywhere. But, like, you know, you think of people like Chris Jericho and Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero. You know, they wrestled in America, in Mexico, in Japan, in Europe. You know, it's global. It's a global phenomenon. And WWE has shoved it down our throats that they are a global phenomenon. They've performed in all these different countries. AEW wants to reach that level, so this is a great step for them to really, you know, present themselves on a global stage.
Yeah. And like, we have it easy in America to get wrestling stuff because we have pro wrestling tees, and that's how everybody was getting AEW stuff before. Pro wrestling tees shipping is already insane. Speaking of somebody that, like, I buy, like, well, I mean, you just recently bought something from pro wrestling tees. The shipping is whew, for a shirt, and they put it, they WWE it a little bit. It's just in a bag. And it's still like $8 shipping. I do that for less, and I ship action figures, and I'm not a company. Right. And I put stuff in boxes. But yeah, no, it's cool that there's a global thing now, because like I'm willing to say WWE Shop has a workaround to where their international shipping is. I mean, I'm sure it's still expensive because international is always expensive, but I'm willing to say right. they have some hubs out somewhere that make that less of a thing. So yeah. it's a cool and story. I like that people can get AEW shirts. I like AEW shirts for the most part, except for the ones that look like a Day to Remember albums covers. That's a very common thing. But there are some AEW shirts that are really slick.
There are, I mean, and that's wrestling shirts in general.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that it's like, no, I would never wear this out in public. But there is some stuff that it's like, the coolest wrestling shirts are the ones you can't tell it's a wrestling shirt.
Yeah.
Like the Sami Zayn shirt, the Sami for Syria one. I ordered that one.
I'm happy you got that.
Like, I'm excited to get that. I got a couple other, or I got the Sami Zayn shirt. I picked up, I'm actually wearing my Jackson Crowley shirt. I ordered an Otis Crowley shirt. And then I got their $10 like grab bag random shirt. So we'll see what that.
Yeah, it'll be a Bullet Club shirt of some shape or form.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because did I tell you when we did the Chicago trip and we went to the standalone, like the stand-in store? They had these boxes that were like the Pro Wrestling Crate boxes, but it was like overflow shirts. It was three shirts for like $25. So I bought one for me and I bought one for Sadie, and. Both of them came with a Pro Wrestling Tees podcast shirt. Mine was pink. Hers was like orange or something. I got an LIJ shirt and the Bullet Club Halloween shirt, which $25 alone, that Bullet Club one. Sadie got two different Bullet Club shirts.
Oh, yeah.
It was and one was Bone Soldier, because I remember, I remember texting you that.
Captain Fuka New Japan.
Yeah.
Oh. That was the worst accent. But yeah, I mean, and I'm fine with it. Like, it was $10
yeah.
for sure. Like, that's fine. I'm not huge. And then rounding it out, we might get out in under an hour. Probably not, though. We'll see. The last story, and I just think this is kind of cool. Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay, formerly known as Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, respectively. I couldn't think of the word respectively. Holy crap. I'm tired. Looks like they're starting their own podcast called Off Her Chops. There is now a Instagram page, it's just Off Her Chops on Instagram. And honestly, if there's two people that I want to just listen to talk for a while, this could be a lot of fun. If they're, you know, which granted, I understand the Iconics are not who they are as people all the time, but if they turn it up like they did for, you know, when they were on TV for the podcast, this could be a lot of fun, because I don't know if you ever listened to it, but the New Day podcast is amazing.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah,
just because like the fact that they are real life best friends really shines through. And since Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay, it's gonna be real hard for me to not call them by their WWE names. I always have that problem, but like this one's gonna be really hard because they have been such good friends for such a long time. Like they I don't know if it was a network thing or what, but like I remember seeing something talk about how they met in Australia, like, and they started off as hating each other because they had the same goals. They were the only two girls that were into wrestling, and like, but then eventually they became just like inseparable best friends, and that carried over to today still. So this is, it could be really fun. I want to check out at least the first couple episodes probably. So
yeah, this will be one that I'll listen to total. Podcast. I only listen to Conrad Thompson's podcast now, and then I listen to the Well Read podcast, which is not a wrestling podcast even a little bit. I don't listen to anything else anymore. I don't even listen to major wrestling anymore. Like, it's pretty much just the Conrad really? Thompson ones. Yeah, and it's nothing they did. It's just like I'd rather hear Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff tell stories. And then he just started a show with Kurt Angle.
Oh, nice.
And that's a lot of fun. He talked about WrestleMania 19 and that whole thing. He's doing a show with Jeff Jarrett, and I don't know why I want to listen to that, but I really want to listen to that. I will probably end up picking or listening to this when it starts. Off Her Chops sounds like it'll be good. Chelsea Green started one. Don't really care to listen to hers. 50 Shades of Green is her podcast. But if you like Chelsea Green, which amazing fucking name. Cannot say enough about that name. Probably will never listen to it, but amazing name. Off Her Chops, I like these two talents enough to be like, no, I'll listen to a couple shows, because I feel like they'll be like, as long as they're jokey with each other and like they have fun episodes, I'll be like, yeah, this will be something I can listen to.
Sure. Yeah, I don't listen to any wrestling podcasts at this point. I pretty much, all of my podcast time is dedicated to Kinda Funny.
Yeah.
Between Games Daily, which is a daily podcast that it's an hour video game news, or and then if I get caught up on that, I'll go into their actual like Kinda Funny podcast, and they have a bunch of other stuff. And then, like I said, every once in a while, I will listen to the New Day pod, just depending on, especially if they get the. Depending on who their guest is too, yeah, will determine how quickly I listen to it. But I'm usually a couple, you know, weeks or months behind on that.
It's also super important to know, fans, I also listen to this podcast called Podzilla 1985 whenever I'm not on the shows. I forget that I also make it a point to listen to our show whenever I'm not on it.
And if you're listening to this, you're listening to us right now, and we appreciate the hell right out of you. That's going to do it for us for this week. We have another PZ85 AD tomorrow night, rolling into horse time on Friday, and then back at it again on Monday with I Believe I Want to Believe, and then PZ85 plays on Tuesday, another PW on Wednesday, and so on and so forth. You know the rigmarole. And yeah, thank you so much for hanging out. We talked about Pro Wrestling Tees, pwtees.com/DaltonAnthony, or prowrestlingtees.com.
Pro Wrestling Tees, yeah. I was going to fix it. It was fine.
I think PWTs actually will work for them, though.
As you check. But yeah, no, I have 3 shirts up right now. I'm still working on that 4th design. Look, I'm waiting for the good amount of time to get that new shirt made. I might have to take a shirt off soon to facilitate that, because I don't know if I'm at my cap. So if you want to make sure that I can have 4 shirts at a time, go to prowrestlingtees.com/DaltonAnthony and buy a shirt. I have the Dodge Duck, Dip Dive, and Dalton shirt, which is probably my favorite shirt I've made. I have the Best Assistant Ever shirt, which I think is the most interesting shirt I have. And then I have the Wrestling Buddies. And we've been tag champs for over a year, and I think more people need to have this shirt.
Honestly, you can even do like a countdown of just like, especially if it is a thing where you have to take a shirt off to get a new design up. Hey, this is your last chance. If you want a Best Assistant Ever shirt, get that order in, because that opportunity is that window's coming to a close. Yeah. So don't dilly-dally on it. But yeah, prowrestlingtees.com/DaltonAnthony. Get you a t-shirt. Podzilla1985.com. You can check out any of the previous episodes we've done. Go back and listen to our prediction episodes. Compare them to when the shows come up. Next week on Wednesday, there will be another prediction episode as WrestleMania Backlash. We will be talking about that because it is the 16th?
19th? I think it's 16th.
It is the 16th.
Because 19th is a Wednesday.
Mother's Day is the 9th, and then it's the week after Mother's Day. So May 16th, we're going to have our... Oh, that's... I wonder why I was thinking of May 19th. So we'll get our picks in for that. And if you want to throw me a follow on Twitch, you can. My background and echoness I'm still wanting to take care of before I get back into streaming again, but there's stuff that I kind of want to jump into, so I might do like a no more humans destroy all humans stream, because I got that downloaded on Game Pass.
I will say, as somebody that has to talk to you on this and has to listen to your audio no matter what in my own ears, it sounds way better than it did 2 weeks ago.
I have a rug.
That rug has done so much work for you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's twitch.tv/the5starman with the number 5. So yeah, that's going to do it for us. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. We love you. We appreciate you. Have a great week, and we will see you very, very soon.